Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Oh, I was warned about her love.
Robert Cray bringing this back 17 till the hour. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. I'm having a great visit with David Dossie, intellectual property attorney, Dossie and Company, LPA, invention-protection.com. Is that still the website, Dave?
That's it.
All right, so check that out, folks. David, as I say, is my intellectual property attorney. We're talking about remote workers. We're talking about remote workers and contractors, independent contractors. They do bleed over because independent contractors are often start out as remote workers, right, David?
Sure, that's very common for an employee that wants more flexibility to become part-time and transition to an independent contractor. You have to worry about all the payroll and the benefits. The key is, obviously, if you're providing an independent contractor with benefits, that screams that they are not an independent contractor, that they are an employee, even if they're a part-time employee.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish.
I was just going to say the transition to so many remote employees is just wrought with potential risks.
And right.
It gives you, as a small business owner like myself, we are generally adverse to having employment contracts. And I hear people say, well, this guy's been working for me for 10 years. I can't now shove an employment contract in front of them. But this gives you an opportunity to put forth a remote work policy and get them to reaffirm their commitment to certain, principles of your business. And oftentimes people will say, well, we have a payroll company that has a new employee packet, and they all have to initial that they've received it, and it has all our policies and everything else. But that really isn't enough. And I say that one of the biggest changes with dealing with remote employees is not necessarily a document to cover your rear end. It's a document to reemphasize to the person going remote that the only way this is going to work is if there's a certain level of trust, and that I don't feel you're cheating me and you don't feel I'm taking advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
And putting this gives you the opportunity to say, here is our remote work policy. And there are a lot of issues that you need to be explicit about. Otherwise, one of you will feel like you're getting taken advantage of.
What are some of those issues?
Well, the easiest ones are like eligibility. Are all your employees eligible for work, mm-hmm. remote work? Because guess what? If you offer it to three people out of your 10 employees, how are those other people going to feel?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly is availability. Are you expecting them to work the exact same hours that they worked when they were in the office? And then here's the 800-pound gorilla is, do you expect them not to be providing child care during those work hours?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have to have dependent care during those hours so that, they're focused on their tasks?
And if you do it for one, do you have to do it for the other?
Right. Well, I think that your policy needs to be consistent. Otherwise, you're gonna get flashback.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And
another
and
big one I see.
Go ahead.
Another big one was the use of technology, because now everyone's getting so comfortable with mm-hmm. Zoom meetings and video conferencing. There is nothing worse than where you respond and say you're available for a video conference, and you're the only one on camera. you know, and it's worse when you're the presenter and you're looking at a screen where there are 10 other people and it's just black boxes. So if you expect people to be using video conference, be explicit about it, because changing that after it's been abused and you've been trying to lead meetings with a bunch of black boxes staring back at you off your screen is going to get people disgruntled.
Well, and you have to say, you know, just as I expect you to show up for a meeting, if we have one here in the office, I expect you to show up and be present and visual in our remote meetings. But also, this puts a potential burden of technology on you, because when they come to work for you, that's part, one of the red letter rules for somebody being an employee of yours is that you provide them with the tools, and if they're going to expect you to do that, I mean, hey boss, you want me to be on this meeting, but I don't have I can't afford a computer that will help me do all of this. Or we don't even have a computer. I need a computer. Or I can't afford to put in $150 of broadband. You're going to have to pay for that if I'm going to have to show up for a meeting. What do you think, David?
Well, these are all things put in the policy. And I tell people, you know, computer security is so important. And computers are so cheap right now. Nothing conveys the seriousness of one of your employees working from home as providing them a computer that is already set up. It's got all the links there to the virtual private network and everything, so that they take it home and plug it in. And then your policy is explicitly clear. No company files on personal equipment.
Right. And this person is now your employee, not a contractor. We're going to come back after the break and talk about some of the more legal, technical, regulatory issues involved in remote work with David Dossie. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.